You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent announcement set aside $2.8 million for a research agreement between Manaaki Whenua and Predator Free Rakiura. Predator Free means eliminating and studying the impacts of introduced predators in New Zealand, which impacts the ecology of the country as well as conservation efforts for native species. Forest and Bird support the vision of predator-free Rakiura Stewart Island, and to understand why, I spoke to spokesperson Dean Bejan Mercer. I began by asking what exactly the term predator-free means.
Well, it is knocking down the introduced predators that were brought to these islands from many other parts of the world to zero, hopefully, so that will allow native species, whether they be birds, bats, lizards, bugs, to burst back to life to their full abundance.
Native ecologies are pretty complex systems. Why is it that introduced predators cause more issues than native ones?
Well, a lot of our native predators are extinct. For example, Feko, the laughing owl, which was twice the sizes of Rudu, the moorpork. So we've already lost a lot of predators. Native ones, but the introduced ones are mammals rather than birds, and so they hunt in a completely different way. Introduced mammals hunt by sight, by smell, and hearing, whereas birds were hunting by sight mainly, and so it gives them a massive advantage. Lots of native species are quite smelly. Kakapo apparently smell like musty peaches. But also, if you've seen tui nesting, when the tui chicks hatch, they just stick their bums over the side of the nest and poo. And so that gives a smell signal to things like rats, goats and cats to know that above them is a nest that they can attack. So that makes native birds particularly vulnerable to these introduced animals that hunt by smell.
Would we prefer a world without predators, or is there some sort of balance that is ideal?
Well, it's the name predator-free in itself is a little bit confusing. It really is shorthand for introduced predator-free rather than all predators, because, I mean, even a fantail is a predator of small insects. So it's really about the introduced animals overwhelming the native species, the native wildlife and within their own ecosystems.
When it comes to being predator-free on Rakiura Stewart Island, how long would such an initiative take before such results can actually be seen in terms of the ecology or the environment?
Well, I suppose the lesson is from what has happened on other islands where introduced predators have been eliminated. And so what you see is the first summer, birds have the full, all their chicks survive. So for example, fantails, a couple of fantails, from the start of spring to the end of summer, they can have four nests with four chicks in each of those. So you start seeing a population rise from the very fast breeding birds. But then there are other species that they call Lazarus species, which means they are thought to have been completely gone. But they are actually in an environment in very, very low numbers. And usually by year 10, these things that are nearly wiped out start making an appearance again. So in the Bay of Islands where I am at the moment, there's an island here called Urupukapuka. And about 10 years after that was pest-free, some geckos that we didn't even know were on the island started to make an appearance. So you can both introduce species that had become extinct there due to predators, but also the ones that exist there in small numbers start coming back of their own accord.
So what does it actually mean when the government allocates money to make the island predator-free? What does that money go to? Is it setting up traps? Is it hunting animals? What does it actually mean?
In this particular context, for Rakiura Stewart Island, there's a lot of difficult things to kind of overcome. Because when you've got an island that large, which is 180,000 hectares, which includes some small islands just off the shoreline, that's a really difficult thing to coordinate, but also target, because they are going for rats and possums, but also in addition, they've added to the eradication list hedgehogs and cats. Now, we don't have any experience in this country from eradicating hedgehogs from large areas. So there's going to be all sorts of research into animal behaviour, their breeding cycles, and also lures. What can you attract these particular animals to so that you can then kill them? So there'll be those sorts of things to work out. Also the timing, the time of year, when they are more likely to take bait. There'll be all sorts of things that are discovered over the next 3 or 4 years as this research unfolds. And the likes of which, we won't know some of the answers until the research is done. And because it's really collaborative with people with mana whenua, with community groups, with scientists, there's going to be all sorts of wonderful things that come out of that other parts of the country will learn from and be able to implement in their areas.
So you mentioned the other parts of the country learning from some of this research. In terms of the initiative of introduced predator-free Rakiura, what would this mean in terms of what's possible for eliminating or reducing introduced predators in other parts of the country? Is this an initiative that would be expanded beyond this island or these islands?
Well, predator-free New Zealand is kind of a national goal, and there's a lot of things to learn from that because, I mean, each of the different animals are really different in how they breed and how far they can move and how fast they can move. And so rats, for example, they can breed up extremely fast, as we've seen in the masting years, the very heavy fruiting years that happen in South Island beech forests, where they can go from low levels up to a complete plagues by autumn from the summer before. And so there's going to be learning about breeding cycles and things like that can help in other areas. Because, of course, Rakiura is very cold compared to the far north. And if we can crack things down there, it might be applicable, lessons learned that can be useful up here. And by the same token, lessons we can learn in the far north might be useful for the research going on down in Rakiura.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.